But I love also the sensitivity, the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to have a good voice. Another thing to have an anointing on your life. And thank you for being so submitted to God that you let the Lord use you, Maria, that way. God bless you. I just feel very emotional this morning. This is a little bit unusual for me. I'm usually the steady Freddy, you know. I don't know. I feel like crying. I just really feel the sweet presence of God. There's just so many things in looking back over this year. It's been a hard year. It goes without saying. But some things remain through all the seasons of life. God is faithful. His love endures. His hand has been with us. He's not allowed us to sink in the storm. Somebody say amen. Are you feeling this right now? Are you feeling this? He when Peter cried out, Lord, save me, he was sinking, and Lord held out his hand, and he picked him up and brought him back into the boat. Hallelujah. It's been that kind of year for us. The trials have been real. The tests have been real, and the difficulties have been sometimes overwhelming. But how much more great is the hand of God with us? And once again, somebody say, once again, the Lord has proved his goodness to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's thank him. Let's thank him right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. You've kept us, Lord. You've protected us, Lord. We have prayed for this church that God would watch over everybody. And I thank God. I know we've had several folks who've gotten the COVID, but no one, to my knowledge, in this church has died as a result of COVID. So to God be the glory. To God be the glory. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We don't do this because we're better than anybody else. And we do mourn with those who mourn, Lord. But we've got to praise you this morning. We've got to, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, bless this word to our hearts now. Anoint us for your honor and glory, Jesus. And help our ears and our hearts to be open to receive the word. And everyone said amen and amen. I want to give you a short message this morning about waiting in hope. There's all different kinds of ways you can wait. You can wait and be nervous. You can wait and feel angry. You ever been stuck in traffic? And that anger wants to rise up, or you're on a line. We were looking for a particular product at the mall in Oviedo a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't believe it. This one store had limited attendance. So in other words, you could only have 3 or 4 people go in at a time. So there was a line that was seriously like halfway down the mall trying to get into this one store. And I think it took 30 to 40 minutes to get in. I don't like waiting. I don't enjoy. Anybody enjoy waiting? No. Nobody enjoys waiting. But there's a difference in a natural sense of waiting and waiting on God. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's a difference between waiting and the sense that we're just watching the clock, you know, go around, and we're waiting for something from heaven. We're waiting with a sense of expectation, waiting with a sense of faith and hope in our heart. So the name of this message is Waiting in Hope. And I want to start at Psalm 33, Psalm 33, 20 to 22. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Let the church say amen. Amen. We all suffer from impatience from time to time. Children can't wait for Christmas to come. Parents can't wait till the Christmas is over. We're waiting for the check to come in the mail. You ever have someone tell you the check will be in the mail and it never came? How about you? Do you know anybody who's impatient? Of course, nobody in here, right? I mean, we're all very, very patient people, right? But as I said before, there's a difference in natural waiting and the attitude that we have of impatience and sometimes anger and frustration. There's a huge difference. There's a vast difference in waiting in a spiritual sense. I didn't realize this, but if you study the Bible, there's a virtue of waiting. Waiting on God is a virtue. It's a something that pleases God. It's something that God is looking for in his people. God is looking for a people who are determined not to get ahead of him. They'll obey God, and they'll keep in step with God, but they are also disciplined enough not to get ahead of God. Somebody say amen. In difficult and discouraging times, we become captive to our natural feelings. And waiting can seem like a cruel and senseless activity. But I'm here to encourage you this morning that in God, your waiting in faith, how you wait, waiting in hope, makes a huge difference. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let me give you an example. Abraham was waiting for a son. He had a promise from God that he would be the father of many nations. Only problem was he had no children until he had Ishmael, which was kind of a mistake. Somebody say amen. He had a lot of problems with Ishmael. But against all odds, the Bible says, when it looked hopeless, Abraham kept hoping. This is in Romans chapter 4. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. And guess what? He waited for 25 years. 25 years for the fulfillment of that promise. But now we look back at Abraham as an example of somebody who was a man of faith, the father of faith, and the father of the Israeli nation. So waiting in hope is a virtue, as I said before. Waiting in faith means something to God. It may seem like fruitless. It may seem like it's not accomplishing anything. You may think that your waiting is because you've given up, and you shouldn't give up. You shouldn't give up on the important things in life. You should not give up on the promises of God. You should not give up on the desires and the longings that God has put in your heart. Because God wants to do some great things for those who wait on him. Isaiah 64 says, there is no God like our God who works for those who wait for him. I want to say that again, Isaiah 64. There is no God like our God who works for those who wait for him. See, there's an insight there into the fact that waiting in a godly way is a virtue. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? How many of you have ever read this psalm? And why are you so disturbed, so restless within me? Put your hope in God. Amplified version says, wait expectantly for him. Wait expectantly for him, for I will yet praise him for the help of his presence. This is a beautiful example of what I'm trying to say this morning. Why are you so downcast, my soul? Why are you so restless? Why are you so weary? Why are you close to giving up? Put your hope in God. Somebody say, put your hope in God. Wait expectantly for him, for I will yet praise him. I'm going to praise him for the answer. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe that there will be a fulfillment of what was promised. David the psalmist said, I would have given up. I almost fainted. How many of you have almost given up? Almost fainted, almost given up. You ever feel like throwing in the towel? But then he goes on to say, unless I had believed, I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. This is the kind of waiting that God commends, that God is trying to encourage you about this morning. Not just waiting in the sense that you've given up, or waiting in the sense that you accept whatever comes along. And, you know, there's children who wait to clean their room because they're procrastinating, not because they're waiting on God. Why don't you clean your room? I'm waiting, Mom. No, you don't have to wait for that. That's just get up and do it. But I'm talking about spiritual waiting. I'm not talking about people who have given up in the fatalistic sense, like, oh, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's not waiting on God. That's fatalism. Fatalism is accepting the negative things in life as if there's no way you can change it anyway. But through our God, we can do valiantly. Hallelujah. Amen. Those who trust in God shall do great exploits, the Bible says. So it is not meaningless. Our waiting, as it says in Romans 5, is a hope that does not lead to disappointment. Hallelujah. Romans 5:5. This hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has already given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. If God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? Amen. Somebody needs to hear this message this morning. God put this in my heart so clearly this week. I know this is for somebody here today. Amen. You're waiting for God. You've been patient, but your patience is being tried. The situation doesn't seem like it's really changed that much. But God is saying, put your hope in God. Believe that you will see the fulfillment of what God has promised. For God is a good God. And in Romans 8:28, he says, he is working for the good of all those who love him, of those who have been called according to his purpose. Let's say that verse together. In all things, God is working for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Anger will not accomplish the will of God. Anger. You've been provoked. Somebody mistreats you. Well, I'll get even with them. I'm going to treat them the way they treated me. They push me, I'm going to push back. That's not the strategy of heaven. Somebody say amen. We get our victory on our knees. We get our victory by hoping in faith. We get our victory by acting the way Jesus would want us to act. Yes. Waiting on God is an inner attitude of hope. Yes. It's a confidence and expectancy, not based on circumstances, but based on the character of the one that you're trusting. Yes. Oh, I don't know. You missed a good place right there for an amen. I'm going to say that again. Waiting on God is an inner attitude based on the conviction of the character of the person in whom we placed our trust. Amen. It's not that we're waiting on hope and luck, like, you know, winning the lottery. Come on now. We're getting a little feedback, Jimmy, on this. It's because we know the character of the one in whom we trust. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed in. Right, Brother Joe? And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You can still trust God with your whole life. COVID or no COVID, pandemic or no, whether the political party of your choice won the election or not. Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Regardless of who's in the White House, my hope is in God. Hallelujah. My hope is not in a candidate or a political party. I know my God. I've been walking with him now. Walking with him over 50 years. How many of you can say I've followed God's track record and he's done a good job? How many of you believe God has a good track record? He has never failed me yet. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe in a God who will always act for my good. I don't always understand his ways. Turn to your neighbor and say this. Sometimes there are mysteries. Right, Brother Joel? We don't always understand everything. There are mysteries in this life. But God is watching out for you. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will guide thee, and I will watch over thee with my eye upon you. God's got his eye on you. He will not let you go. So what does all this have to do with the Christmas story? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question. Come on now. Today, I want you to look at the Christmas story for a moment and see that woven into the Christmas story is this idea of waiting in hope. The idea of waiting correctly, waiting spiritually, is woven into the Christmas story. Because there were people in those days, just like today, who have desperate prayers, have desperate needs, and desperate longings in their heart. God sees this morning the unseen longings of your heart. I don't know what it is, but God knows the deep things that you have not told anybody about. And God, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Hallelujah. You see, those people were hoping for deliverance. They were waiting for a deliverer. Are you with me? In the Bible, we see heroes in the Bible are always waiting for something. Always waiting. You know, when Israel was being oppressed by the Philistines, Goliath came along. God sent David to kill the giant. There were other times in the Bible, Gideon, they were being oppressed by the Midianites. God sent Gideon, who was a reluctant warrior. He was a guy who felt like he was the least popular person in his family. Who am I among the tribes of Israel? He says, who am I? I'm the least in my father's household. And yet, because the people of God were waiting for a deliverer, God raised up a deliverer in the right time. Hallelujah. God sees and pays attention to those who wait on him because God sees that as an act of faith. And how many of you know that God always responds to faith? Right? We must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you begin to see in the Christmas story people who are waiting for deliverance. In the Roman world, let me tell you something, at the time of Jesus' birth, hope was a rare commodity. Somebody say amen. There were people oppressed. The Jewish people were dispossessed from their land. They were captives within their own nation of Israel. Roman Empire had taken over. There were taxes. There was oppressive treatment of people. There was injustice. There was partiality. There was prejudice. And even the religious system had become so bloated and so elitist that the average person couldn't make any headway among the scribes and the Pharisees. So there was like a caste system even among the religious people. But into that scene, Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Into that darkness, the light of God shines. Hallelujah. The people, Matthew 4:16, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This is the scripture that Matthew uses to serve as a backdrop for the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry was a fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 9:2, that the people in darkness has seen a great light. God has come to deliver his people. When Israel was in Egypt, God raised up Moses. The people were languishing. They were suffering. God said to the people, this is for somebody this morning, I have seen the suffering. I have seen the suffering of my people. Okay, that's okay. He'll be fine. When God saw Israel in Egypt, he said, I have seen the oppression of my people. I have noticed their suffering. I have heard their cries. Point. And now I've come down to deliver them. Hallelujah. You see where I'm getting at this morning? When we wait on God, we put our hopes and longings in his care. We keep Jesus in the center of our waiting. This is what I'm trying to get across this morning. I hope I'm getting this into your hearts this morning. Keep Jesus in the center of your waiting. Wait in the spiritual sense. Wait with hope in your heart. Wait with expectancy. Wait believing in the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Something in the heart of all mankind hopes for a better future. Isn't that true? Isn't there something in the world right now? Everybody longs for a better future. No wonder the Christmas story resonates with so many people. Because this Christmas story is a message of hope that come to people who are in darkness, people who are suffering. Look at Zechariah and Elizabeth, for example. Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. Both of them were right in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. So you can imagine that they probably could have been, you know, discouraged. They probably could have given up. They probably could have said, well, I guess that dream will never be fulfilled. But instead, an angel visits Zechariah while he's ministering in the temple, and he says to him, your prayer has been heard. What prayer? What prayer? He's offering incense, and he's fulfilling his duty, but God is noticing the prayer in Zechariah's heart that he has been longing for many years. You see what I'm getting at? This is part of the Christmas story. What are you hoping to give birth to? Mary gave birth to the Son of God, but Elizabeth, in her old age, gave birth to John the Baptist. Somebody say amen. Old and young. Pastor Angel likes to say this all the time. Young and old. G to G. Everybody say G to G. So anyway, let's fast forward to the end of the story of this part about Zechariah. And when John the Baptist is finally born, and Zechariah's speech comes back, and he praises God, it says in Luke chapter 2, verses Luke 1, 67, praise the Lord God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of David, just as he promised through the holy prophets long ago. This was a fulfillment of something that was promised. Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit. The angel said, nothing is impossible with God. Mary goes off to visit Elizabeth, who is her cousin, and now Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. Mary just had this angelic visitation from Gabriel. Now she's pregnant with Jesus. She walks in to visit her cousin, Elizabeth, and Elizabeth begins getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and baby John the Baptist starts doing a dance in her womb. Come on now, somebody. And Elizabeth begins prophesying. The Holy Spirit comes. And this is after 400 years of darkness. No prophetic voice. No move of the Spirit. All of a sudden, you see the Holy Spirit all over the Christmas story, especially in the book of Luke. And the Holy Spirit says through Elizabeth to Mary, blessed are you, Mary, because you have believed there would be a fulfillment of those things which were told to you by the Lord. You see how waiting and believing in God pays off. Amen? I don't know what you're giving birth to. You may not be giving birth to a John the Baptist or to Jesus, but you can give birth to the whatever God puts in your heart and you're believing in faith for. For your ministry, for your calling, for your mission. For your children, you can give birth to a different vision for your life. Hallelujah. Because God has a preferred vision for your life. Simeon was an old man, and he was in Jerusalem just at the time when Jesus was brought to the temple again after 40 days. There was the rite of purification, and Mary comes back to the temple with Jesus. Now he's 40-something days old. And all of a sudden, Simeon comes into the scene. It says, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. Watch this. He was waiting. He was waiting. Everybody say, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Ooh. Is there anybody waiting for the consolation that needs to come from God? I am. I've got stuff I'm waiting for. But how you wait matters. Somebody say to your neighbor, how you wait matters. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was waiting for the Messiah. And listen to this. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he would see the Messiah himself with his own eyes. And then he sees baby Jesus and he breaks out in this praise to God and he says, Sovereign Lord, now as you have promised, you may dismiss your servant in peace. I can go home in peace now, Lord, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to know that you will see the salvation of the Lord. No matter what the devil says, no matter what the track record of the natural man is, no matter how many people let you down, hallelujah, God is faithful, hallelujah. God will keep his word to you. You will never find a truer friend than Jesus. And finally, Anna. When you think of the Christmas story, do you ever think about Anna? I don't. Who's Anna? Well, Anna's in the Bible. We have an Anne here. Hi, Anne. You're in the Bible. Luke 2:36. There was also a prophetess named Anna. She was there also after this 40-day period of purification. Mary and Joseph come back to the temple. She never left the temple. She was a widow. She was 86 years old. Not quite as old as Sister Hermione here. She was a youngster, Hermione. She was a young lady. Just 86 years old. Hermione's 100 years old, by the way, if you didn't know. 100 years old. Still waiting on God, right? Hasn't given up on your faith, right? 100 years. 100 years. Has not given up on her faith. She's a good illustration for my sermon today. So she was in the temple worshiping God, waiting on God. And then God allows her to see Jesus. And she begins to prophesy. The Holy Spirit comes on her. And it says, she began to praise God and give thanks to him and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. They were looking forward. Are you looking forward to something? You see, the devil wants us to think that waiting on God, hoping in God, faith in God is meaningless. It doesn't matter. Nothing good is going to happen. But God says there is a reward for the faithful. Your faith will be rewarded. Hallelujah. Your faith will be rewarded. Turn to your neighbor. Your faith will be rewarded. I want to close with this. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even young people grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait or hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait on the Lord, they that hope in the Lord, shall what? Shall what? One more time. Shall what? Renew their strength. How many of you need to have your strength renewed today? Could use a little bit. Wait on the Lord. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. Hallelujah. Gloria, we're going to have a praise when we get that great report from you. Hallelujah. We're going to have a praise that even dancing in this tabernacle. Somebody say amen. Wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Three things happen when you wait on the Lord. And I close with this. Personal renewal. When you wait on God, waiting spiritually, adjusting our waiting from being frustrated to being hopeful in God. Change. If you're waiting for something, don't do it in frustration and in anger. Do it in an expectancy and a humility before God. God, in your good time, you'll do this, Lord. You'll do what is best. Everybody say, he'll do what is best. Nobody's going to love you more than he does. He's got your back. He's got what is best for you. So they will renew their strength. Secondly, they will mount up with wings as eagle. What does that mean? That means that you will be given a different perspective. The eagle has a great view of what's going on. And those who wait on the Lord will have a heavenly perspective. You'll see things not the way man sees them, but you'll see them the way God sees them. So when you're going through stuff, ask yourself the question, how does God see this right now? What is God's perspective? Let me wait on the Lord for a minute here. Before I get provoked, before I react, let me spend some time with the Lord in the Word and in prayer and in worship. And finally, The third one, they shall run and not grow weary. That sounds like a supernatural strength to me. Even older people can outrun the younger people. That's pretty cool, right? When us older folks can outrun the younger ones, they shall run and not weary. The youth will grow tired, young people will even stumble, but those who wait on the Lord will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So this morning, I close with this. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Let's stand together, shall we? Somebody give God a praise in the house. Hallelujah. Put your hope in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He works. He works for those who wait for him. There is no God like our God. Somebody say it with me. He works for those who wait for him. Somebody needs to know this morning, God is working behind the scenes. Just like he was for Zechariah, Elizabeth, for Mary, and Joseph, and Simeon, and Anna, and all of these people in the Bible during the time of the Advent. We're all waiting for something special from God, and they got it. Hallelujah. They got it. I don't know how God will answer your prayer. It may not be exactly the way you have said it. It may not be exactly the way we want it. But I can say this for sure. He will do what is good. He will not give you more than you can bear. And in the end, nobody can love you the way God loves you. Somebody give God another praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 We're going to sing in a moment, but I also want us to bow for those who might need to surrender their hearts to Jesus. There may be somebody who's watching on Facebook right now, and this message has resonated with your heart. You may feel like, wow, I haven't exactly been waiting on God. I've been distracted with everything else but waiting on God. If that's you, or you're here in the auditorium this morning, and you say, Pastor, I need to get this idea of waiting on God in hope and faith. I need to get that back in the center of my life. Is there anybody here who will lift a hand and say, Pastor, this message was for me. I need to get that back in my life. Would you raise a hand and say, yes. I need to wait in hope for the Lord. I need to wait in faith. Thank you. Thank you. Many of you raising your hands. And those of you at home, I want to say this prayer right now. If you need to invite Jesus Christ into your life, make all the difference in the world. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about the tinsel and the bulbs. It's not about the gift giving. It's about Emmanuel, God with us. Christ being born, not in Bethlehem, but in our hearts. Would you say this prayer if you're watching and you need to invite Jesus into your life? Would you say this prayer right now? Lord Jesus, it's so easy to miss the real story of Christmas. But today, I want you to be right in the center of my life. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you came to take away my sins. And you rose from the dead on the third day. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Live your life inside of me. Wash me from my sins. Help me to have my faith in you all the days of my life. And everyone said, amen, and amen, and amen. Let's sing this chorus together. Pastor Angel, come on up. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Phone number again, in case, I'm not sure if Pastor Angela gave it before, but if God touched your heart in this message and you're watching, maybe not from Internet Catalyst International Church, but somewhere else, and you need prayer, I want to just invite you to call the church. 407-438-6100. That's 407-438-6100. We would be honored to pray with you today. God bless you. Pastor Angel, would you give us a last thought?
We just feel like despair is leaving someone. Someone who is watching or in this auditorium that came with despair and despondency. Right now, the Lord is ministering to you. The Holy Spirit is ministering to you. You know, Mary allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon her. And you need to open up your heart and say, Holy Spirit, come on me. Renew me, Lord. Take away this despair. You know, we're going to pray that the enemy is rebuked, but you need to open your heart, whether you're on camera and you're watching us, or you're in this auditorium, or you watch it later on. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that those who wait in you will not be put to shame, that there is hope in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Thank you for renewing and refreshing. Thank you for a heavenly perspective today, Lord. It's not what the news is saying. It's not what the neighbors are saying. It's what the Holy Scripture says. It's what Jesus says. It's what the Holy Spirit bears witness in your heart and says. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, and that we will mount up with wings as eagles, Lord God, and that we will run, that new strength is coming in. New strength is coming in. Receive it now in Jesus' name. New strength where there was despair. God is sending new strength. Hallelujah. You know, I know some of you are anxious to get home. But listen, someone really needs this miracle. So I'm asking you to press in with me that somebody needs the hope of Jesus today. Somebody needs to give their life to Jesus today. Somebody needs to renew their strength in the Lord and not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that we will see fulfillment. And even as we're waiting, God, even as they're waiting, there's joy. You know what? We don't have to wait like sourpusses. We don't have to wait in anger. We don't have to wait in a grumpy way. We can wait in joy. Hallelujah. Fear not. The Lord says, for I bring you tidings of great joy. The Christmas message is joy. Hallelujah. It's not what the news is saying. It's not if we could afford the most expensive presents. It's tidings of great joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for filling us with your joy today, Lord. In Jesus' holy, matchless name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you. Amen. Merry Christmas. Turn to somebody. Say Merry Christmas. Oh, yes. We have a calendar for 2021, and we also have some chocolate for everybody today. Everybody. Don't leave. Even for you adults who like chocolate. Amen.